Now, that one statement there, it kills all that other stuff about him being so powerful. Rebuke him and he will flee from you. I was convicted for failing to obey the selective service order. And I was spending time in the Sandstone, Minnesota Federal Correctional Institution. And the whole Jehovah Witnesses was in there too. They were in there for doing the same thing, failing to obey the selective service order. And this big, tall, copper-skinned African-American, I started to call him a sanctifier. He was. He was a sanctifier in the religion of Jehovah's Witnesses. I'll tell you, because when he talking, we would talk every now and then, he'd say, "Woo! Woo!" That baby, still, I started to say sanctifier. I forgot, you know, I'm remembering how he responded, but he was a Jehovah's Witness. Anyway, he knew who I was. I was a Muslim that he thought was just so far away from God that I was Satan. So we're having conversation, and really, I have always been, in terms of my respect for a person, I've always been the same as I am now. I don't believe in forcing something on you don't want. So I was being very nice and respectful. I wasn't trying to convert him. I knew he didn't want it. But responding to him, I had to make a little trouble for him. Just responding to what he was saying to me. I had to make a little trouble for him. I was being as gentle as I possibly could. He got so upset. "Get behind me, Satan." That's what he said to me. "Get behind me, Satan." And he started going, leaving in jail. He had enough room to go away from me, about 100 feet, I guess. But he was both was in jail. Locked up in the federal district. So he started, "Get behind me, Satan." I said, "Hold up, brother." I said, "The Bible says, rebuke Satan and he will run from you." I said, "I ain't running. What you running for?" Praise be to Allah. Do you know he made parole before me? He got out. That ain't the point. That's not the interest. When I got out and got back in the temple, my father wouldn't let me preach. I think he was really didn't want me to make trouble for my parole. He was afraid that I may say something. That's what I thought later. But the first time he told me, "Now you know you can't go back on the rock." When the first time he said that, I said, "Well, I guess I'm still under punishment." But later on, I came to understand it as my own protection. He was protecting his son. So anyway, I'm in the temple one night, and who do I see? Yeah! My friend, the Jehovah's Witness. And when we saw, when our eyes met, both of us said, "Mom, you're so happy to see each other." You know, I don't care what kind of situation you had with your homie in prison. When you see him outside, "Hey, baby!" Because, you know, just something happened to your spirit and soul. You were both confined together. You were both put in the same bad situation. So when you see each other out of that situation, oh, you're happy. You forget every argument you had. And that's the same way it'll be for us when we get out of this trap that we're in, that the world has put us in, and our wayward leaders straying from righteousness that they had after in slavery time and after, immediately after, straying from their righteousness have put us in. When we save ourselves from this prison of ignorance, misguidance, deviation from the law of God, when we deviation from faith and love for God. When we break out of this, we're going to feel just like those homies that see each other when they're both out there. We're going to love each other. But, assalamu alaikum, brother. Assalamu alaikum, sister. Praise be to Allah. We're going to have it back. We're going to get it back. All right, let me get back to this. So he said, I came to see you. That's what he told me. He said, I came to see you. He said, I just wanted to see you. I said, oh, man. I said, I'm so happy to see you. So he said, where you live? I told him. He said, I'm going to come by your house. He did. But he never joined the Nation of Islam. Now, isn't that something? Man came out of prison and stayed, found out where the temple was, and came there just to see me. And then asked me for my address and come to my house. He never tried to convert me to Jehovah's Witness again. All he wanted to do was just be in my company as a friend. Wonderful. Yes. Allahu Akbar. Wonderful. Yes. Okay. Allah invites us to life. Genesis is an invitation to life. It's an invitation to life. It's talking about the life that God created human beings for. It's not the life of rats, cats, dogs, sheep, cows, chickens, rabbits. No, snakes. No, it's a special life. None of those creatures were created for the life that we were created for. And none of them can benefit from what Allah created as we can. None of them. Animals have intelligence like we do. I used to think they can't reason, because science said they can't. Science is making a big mistake. Animals can reason. Some animals can reason. Yes. And I believe that's what it means when it says that he made some animals on the same day he made man, the sixth day. Didn't just make man on the sixth day. He made some other animals on the sixth day. This is the Genesis Bible. And if you understand it, the same is in the Quran. It's in the sixth chapter of the Quran, and it's called An'am, the animals. But that six represents the day that he created man. Yes. And Allah says in the Quran, and there's no creature calling upon the face of the earth that Allah hasn't assigned its life to communities similar to yours. So there are a community of birds. There are a community of ants. Community of bees. Yes, even bacteria have community. Microscopic life that you can't even see with your eyes. Because they're crawling too upon something. Praise be to Allah. Now, the life that God wants for us is a life that we can't have without the tool for the soul being established. What is the tool for the soul? Your intelligence. Your brain. You cannot have the life that Allah created for the soul until you establish your brain. Your soul goes out like an air in a balloon. If you can imagine the skin of the balloon being the extent of space, as far as you can go out in space. That air is the soul, and the air is pushing the balloon out. And Allah has created space so it will extend as far as our life required to. Yes, no limit to it. So as far as your soul wanted to go out, let the germ of righteousness be alive in the soul, and it will push, it will fill the balloon up with the soul, with the spirit, life of the soul. And that balloon is not limited like these balloons we buy for our children. They will burst when you reach a certain. That balloon, that skin that God has given for the core, to hold the core of our soul, our core life, our soul, it will keep expanding forever. Keep opening up forever. Give your soul more room to want more. Opens up. Unlimited extension. Unlimited expansion. Unlimited room. You can have as much as you want. Allah created us like that. But something as small as the pit at the point of a needle can hit the balloon and lose all the air. And I guess that's why Allah revealed Satan has been disappointed. This day I have perfected for you your religion and completed my favor on you and have given you my choice of religion, Islam. But he also say, don't drop your guard now. Satan has given up hope of deceiving you in big things. But be aware of him coming at you in small things. Like your respect for your husband, sister. Like your respect for your wife, brother. Like your respect for your parents' children. And like your respect for your children, parents. Huh? These are things that God made us naturally to manage. He made us naturally to manage these things. It's the nature of the heart to take care of these things. But when Satan come at us with his scheme, he takes everything available to him and used it to take us out of the life that God created us for. Yes? Oh, what is this life? In its complete picture and in its best picture, it is the life that has been given to us by the life. And life, the highest life for us, is the Word of God. The Quran. Revelation. True, pure, perfect revelation. When it comes into our life, it gives us a chance to have a bigger life, a more better life, a more beautiful life. And certainly a much more productive life than we had before. But is it really a new life? No, it's the same life you had before. The sign is in Jesus Christ. And most of the students of Scripture, they missed it. So Allah revealed it again, as Jesus Christ predicted it would happen. The Spirit of Truth will come. So he revealed it again and gave it to Muhammad the Prophet. And the same sign that Jesus came and to show the world in the clouds of heaven and in parables. Here God brings it again in plain language. And not in the clouds of the heaven, but in the broad daylight. He brings it again. Here is a man that God chose to be his last messenger, to fill that role of the last prophet, the seal of the prophet. And this man was not called by God so that he would be made clean, sanctified, made holy, righteous, or made fit to be God's servant and messenger. He was already fit before he knew God. He was already the complete human being God wanted before he even knew of religion. He didn't know of religion proper. He didn't know Judaism. He didn't know Christianity. He knew none of those, not even the Sabian religion. And it was in Arabia, but he didn't know it. The part that he was in, there was no Sabians. And I guess those Arabs of that area, they never were interested in that kind of thing. They were boasting in their own knowledge. And their knowledge was common sense, reasoning. If you didn't come to them at that day, they wouldn't accept anything. Just common sense reasoning. They didn't believe in no hereafter, life after death, nothing. They didn't believe in God the way the world of religion believes in God. And he was born among them. And they worshiped idols. They believed in the creation of their father. Whatever their father made and showed them that was a god or had some kind of superpower, that's what they believed in. And they had 369 of those things. And had little models of them in the Kaaba. In the house that was built by Abraham, the highest man. In the purity of the worship of God. He was the highest in that. And he left the house there. But they had lost it. Didn't have any knowledge of it. And they had put their false gods in there. And their little models. Little things they made with their hands. Crafted with their hands. And Allah chose Muhammad. Because Muhammad wouldn't worship any of those idols. Chose Muhammad. Because Muhammad wouldn't follow the ignorant behavior of his people. When they go around celebrating once a year, go around the Kaaba, the poor ones in the news. The rich told the poor that if you join us, you have to be naked. Meaning, you don't have any knowledge, you couldn't produce no any clothes. We produce your clothes for you to wear. So they had a faint knowledge of what the Kaaba indicated or signified. They knew it signified life, human life. Human life in its origin. They knew that much, that it was a symbol of the original home of human life. And the original home of human life means the life of the baby, the life of an innocent baby. So for a society, it is society in its innocence, in its natural goodness, before it goes to become greedy, become warmonger, or whatever. It is innocent. And Margaret Mead discovered a society, even in this time, no more than 50 years ago, I think. She discovered a society on the earth, the Tassadai. That's the name of them, Tassadai. She discovered them, and she told about them. She's a researcher. And she told about them, and she said they had no concept for crime. That's what she said. Now, isn't it somehow Allah, the creator of this world, let this world exist and be changed by scientific industrial man. But he missed a little spot in this last day of revelation. That little spot survived to be known in this last day of revelation. Can man have the power to change everything in his environment? Redo it, take it away from nature, whatever. The Tassadai people. So that woman scientist, Margaret Mead, would discover them and put them in history so it will be there for the rest of the time. It's going to be there for the rest of the time. So this is the end of time. Ain't no change coming. Nobody coming to take over this society and make it different. No. This is the biggest we can become with the brain. We can't become any bigger with the brain. We only can build more on what we have done, but we can't become any bigger than we are right now with the brain. So this is the end of time for this scheme, for this run of things that God planned for, that the devil planned for also. So we are living in the finality of the miracles of Satan and the miracles of God. Nothing is coming bigger. Not as a challenge to the soul of man. No. Now, so here he has allowed this society to be hidden from this explorer who gone all over the world looking for things untouched by him. So he can get it and touch it and see what he can change. See what he can make of it. What can he make of it? One little people survived the past of that. And Margaret Mead says, they had no concept of time. So they're just like innocent babies born. So they trust each other with everything. They don't fight each other. Naturally good. But isn't Christ Jesus a sign of that? That though he's a human being like us, in the world he's different than from the rest? Innocent, pure, want nothing but goodness for himself and others, and really put in the world to want it for others because he was born with it. He didn't have to go after it for himself. He's born with it. Created with it first day. Then Muhammad comes. Here's a man and Jesus Christ as a sign in the manger with animals. In the nativity with animals. And here's Muhammad in the beginning of the new world of Islam, in its nativity, with animals, but unspoiled by the animals, untouched by the animals. He walked from the midst of the animals, he walked, and went up a mountain to get way away from the animals. So he couldn't hear a thing they were saying. He couldn't be bothered anymore with the picture of their shameful behavior. And he went up in the mountain, high as he could go, and there he found a little opening. Went into that hole and cried out to the skies. He didn't know God by the name of anything. All he knew is what
the idol worshippers called God. God, many cried out up there, "Help my soul. Take this burden off of me." And God's first word to him was, "Read." R-E-A-D. Read. And Muhammad knew that God wasn't talking about read the daily newspaper, because he had been doing that. God knew that God didn't mean read a business contract, because he had not, was not only reading business contracts, he was making them. He was writing business contracts. So God understood, Muhammad understood what God said meant when he said, "Read." And Muhammad said, "I can't read." He meant, "Read my communication to man for his salvation." Muhammad said, "I can't read." He never had any scriptures in his hand. He never had a priest or a monk or a holy man to teach him scripture. He couldn't read. This is in the Bible. "There'll come a time when there'll be a famine. It'll spread all over the world. There won't be a famine of food. It'll be a famine of hearing the word of God." And again in the Bible it says, "There'll be a little book, and the people will not be able to read that book. And a man will come upon that book by chance. He will have it in his hand. And he won't be able to read it. And he'll go looking for somebody to read him this book, this strange book that he has come upon. And he goes to the first person, says, 'Will you please read this for me?' And the first person says, 'I'm sorry, I'm not literate. I can't read plain language.' And he keeps going, and finally comes another man, and he says, 'Will you please read this to me?' And the man looks at it, and he says, 'It's sealed. S-E-A-L-E-D. It's locked up. It's sealed from people that don't have this kind of knowledge.'" But along comes one that looked like he's been slain from the foundations of the world. He's not even alive to the foundation of the world. Slain from the foundations of the world. A little lamb without spot or blemish. Not a wolf going out to kill something, lurking in the shadows. Not a bear, a wild bear, but a little lamb that won't nothing but to be left alone with his family.
For more on the ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, call our right, Ministry of W. Dean Muhammad, 1-708-798-6750. All right, Ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Jones, he's local distributor. And thanks for listening.